Hello and welcome to the Creative Shift podcast. In this episode, I'll be talking about five different ways that you can get your message across effectively. We'll have an interview with visual artist Dean Melbourne, who used to work with us here at Creative Shift, and we'll finish up with a little section called the Creative Shift Perspective, where I get to rant about why you can't get tea in a mug. So today, I'd like to talk a little bit about five different ways to get your message across. In this, I'm talking really about when you need to express some new strategy, you're talking to employees or investors or customers about your business. And you may want to think about how best to present the information in a way that it's really easy to receive. What I mean by that is that people process information in very different ways, and sometimes that's invisible to us. We can't hear the way that people process information. Sometimes information doesn't feel right to the recipient. And that's exactly what I'm just talking about. People will tend to process information in language to do with the visual, the auditory, or the kinesthetic, in other words, feeling. So the first way to get your message across is to actually try and say things three ways. Some people need to hear certain words. Some people need to feel reassured. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Saying it in three ways to appeal to the three types of sensory appreciation. That's point number one. There are also people who like numbers and logic, so for them, we're going to follow up straight away with point number two. Point number two is to think about the rule of three. And by that I mean, have a structure to your message. In other words, say what you're going to say, say it, say what you've just said. So a rule of three, flagging up your intention, delivering the message, and then summarising the message, is a great way to really embed what it is you want people to hear. Number three, have a clear call to action. Very often in a business context, people are given information, often loads of it, but then not really told what to do with it. If you want people to act differently, the last thing you should say to them is, so from now on, I would like you to, whatever it is you want. If you want a customer to respond to your sales message, to get in touch, to find out more, to download, whatever, make that call to action nice and clear. Number four, if possible, emphasize your message by using something visual, some kind of prop, a visual aid, or even a very visual metaphor. Imagine painting a picture in people's minds. Imagine standing there, talking to people, and having them recognize what you talk about, having that light of recognition in their eyes. I've just done that for you. It's a podcast, but I'm trying to get you to visualize something. Visualize communications going well. Always try and use something visual in your communications. And finally, the fifth point is to think, if you really can, about story. If you want to talk about a product that's got certain features and benefits, don't just reel them off like you're a talking manual. Try and make a story out of this. Try and imagine a user of your service or product. Get a story that's about the problem. Really root it in reality and in the real world and tell a story about it. I have a number of clients who, when they want to talk about changes that are coming up, put it inside the story of the company, of how the company's going to grow and develop, of how this is the new chapter in the business. All of that is really useful when trying to get your message across. So, to recap, when you're looking to communicate to your investors, to your customers, or to your employees, think about nuancing your language in a variety of ways. Number one, tailor it for the different ways that people process information. Number two, don't forget the rule of three and structure your information. Number three, make sure there's a clear call to action. Number four, try if you can to use something visual, even if it's just to paint an image in people's minds. And number five, if you can, tell it like a story. Stories are more memorable. That's it from this little section. And my call to action to you is, if you are interested in finding out more about this, then visit www.creativeshift.uk.com or give us a call. Our details are on our website. So on today's Creative Shift podcast, I'm really delighted to have my former colleague, artist Dean Melbourne, with me. And he's going to kick off our inaugural podcast. The interview questions we're going to ask are going to be the same every time. We're going to ask what caused people's creative shifts. And their creative shifts in three particular areas: productivity, profit, and performance. Because I love a bit of alliteration, me. First of all, Dean, welcome. Hello.
Hi.
So, Dean, do you want to just tell us a little bit about... You've made a big shift because you've just left Creative Shift, where you were an artist advisor, to become a full-time painter and artist. Just want to say a little bit about your work now and what you've done recently.
Yeah, so the main thing, I guess, that happened over the last 12 months is that after 14 or 15 years of making paintings, I finally found gallery representation. Some curators to work with who were really aligned with my practice, and that's meant that I could finally make the shift to being full time.
And you've exhibited recently in London on a couple of places.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So we just did my first one man show in London, and at the same time I was exhibiting at the Royal Academy summer exhibition. And I guess all this started with last year exhibiting at Olympia at Art 14 and getting such a good response there. So, yeah, it's been a good 6 months.
So, Dean, we've got some questions that you very kindly offered to answer. And the first one is, what were the factors, would you say, or if you look back on your recent work, that has enabled you to make a shift in your productivity? So... how have you been able to work more, or more work better, or work more effectively?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in terms of productivity, the key has been the right tools. And for me, the right tools are a studio space. So making a leap of faith and taking on a studio space that perhaps was a little bit beyond me in terms of finance felt like a big leap. But around 5 years ago, I had a vision about where my practice was going, and having a kind of a linear progression to work along meant that the natural thing to do was to get out of the shed at the bottom of the garden, as it were, and take on something that meant that I took my practice more seriously. And although that felt like a leap at the time, the right tools to do the job have meant obviously that productivity has increased and the quality of the things that I made I've got better, and that's allowed me room to move, I guess.
And just to say that vision that you had wasn't a kind of God-given Damascene sort of flash of inspiration. It was actually a structured exercise that you'd done as part of some of the training that Fierce Earth at the time, what was Creative Shift, actually offered in a course.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we were encouraged on the course we were talked through a vision about a working day 5 years in the future. I was pretty dubious about when we started working through it, but actually I had a vision of real clarity, and and I envisaged actually a day when I was getting ready for my first solo show, and I imagined the studio space and the people that I was working with, and it was surprisingly accurate, actually.
That's always amazing. So, to recap, what I heard was you had a vision that, because of that, gave you the faith to get a bigger studio space and organise your space differently or more effectively, and that in turn had an impact on your productivity.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's about taking my product and my practice seriously in a more business-like sense, actually, being no less, I guess, authentic, or trying to be have some integrity about the work that I was making, but to see the product that I was making in a more business-like sense. And it just meant that the obvious thing to do was to have a more practical space that worked for me. And that's a work in progress as well, so probably the next thing to increase productivity again, the first thing might be to get the tools around me that I really need, and that might require a change of space again.
Great, thanks for that.
So, in this episode of the Creative Shift Perspective, I want to share a bit of a pet peeve, and that is that when I buy a tea, I want it in a mug. Now, Birmingham is blessed with lots of very lovely indie coffee and tea shops, very stylish, but I'm amazed at how often you're not given the option of whether you have your tea in a cup or a mug. I like tea in a mug. It's very personal, but I take sweeteners, and if you have one full sweetener tablet in a cup, it's too much sweetener, and it's just right in a mug. And why I get irate, other than the fact that I'm preternaturally keen on tea and I really like it the way I like it, is that what for me it says is that my needs are not as important as the branding, as the image, or the trendiness of this indie coffee shop. That they have decided to give me not what I want, but what they think I ought to have. And I think there's quite a lot of that in customer service, and it sort of irritates me. Similarly, if you go to a conferencing event, it's amazing how often you're made to have your tea in a cup. And weirdly, the other week, I went to an event at the cricket ground at Edgbaston, where they gave me a choice of a cup or a mug. And stupidly, I now think that's a really great venue. And actually, the only thing they did differently was give me that choice, but it suited me. I know I'm not alone in this, by the way. There's lots of people who have foibles and predilections about how they like their tea and coffee served. For some reason, it's something we all take very personally. So, two things. Just because you have equipment, like cups and saucers, hey, you venues out there, doesn't mean you have to use them. Think about replacing them. It's got to be one of the cheapest things you can do. And secondly, it reminds me to think about what my customers want, not what I think they ought to have. It's a great thing to check out. Are you giving your customers what they want, what they need, or what you've decided they're going to get? That's it from this month's Creative Shift Perspective.
That's all there is this time. Thanks so much.